Welcome to the Spa Girls Podcast, the self-publishing podcast for authors. You're in the right place for the best writing, marketing, and publishing advice, plus interviews with industry experts and best-selling authors. I'm Cheryl Phipps.
I'm Shar Barrett.
And I'm Wendy Bella. And today we're going rogue because we've got no Trudy.
Woohoo!
So, like, we'll just be doing whatever we want and she'll come and listen and go, OMG.
We won't get told off.
We won't be graded at the end of the podcast.
No, there'll be no grading. There'll be no lines to do after or penance, anything
no
like that.
No snacked hands.
No. So she's away swanning around doing
something. Swanning around
as she does. Useless, yeah. You know, like she does.
We're not jealous at all.
So today we're going to talk about the beginner's guide to launching your book. You know, we get a lot of people ask us questions about, you know, we're on a low budget, or I've only got one book, or I've got three books. I don't know how to launch. I don't know how to start. Where do I start? That's what we get a lot of. Where do I start? And with all the noise out there at the moment, there is so much noise. Do this, do that, do this, do that. It's quite hard to know where to start. So we thought we would just start with basics and sort of break things down. But first of all, before we do that, congratulations if you've finished a book.
Absolutely. Yes. I think that's so important, right? Yes. Like, I think we can get caught up in, like, what happens next, but that's a huge accomplishment.
That was the first step. You took it, you were brave, and now you're going to be even more brave braver because you're going to publish it.
So we're going to get down and dirty with a few practical suggestions.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no getting around it. It is tough. It is.
Really tough.
It is tough, but what a journey. And I think you need to approach it as this is the start, right?
Yeah.
It's like starting a new job. You have to learn it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is that. This is, you know, learning the steps. When we all started, we started one way. Now we do everything totally differently.
Yeah.
You know, right. I think starting now, you're actually getting the benefit of all of that knowledge out there.
Yeah.
And just working down. But I think,
Can I give one tip before we start?
Yeah.
I think whatever you choose to do, from what we're saying here, from what you're hearing from outside people, whatever you choose to do, write down what you actually do.
Yes.
And then the next time you've got a base to start with and to see what worked and what didn't.
Yeah, so, 100%.
Go, really,
great
really,
idea.
Really good.
So, Shar, I think you're going to talk timelines.
Yeah, I think this is so you finish the book and you've got it formatted and you've got it covered, and then I think what's good is to just sit down with your own planner or diary or Google Calendar or whatever and just work out a little bit of a timeline in terms of how much time you can devote to this launch. And by that I mean maybe figuring out an ad or sending out a newsletter or whatever. Just give yourself a timeline that works for you. It's tempting to look at how somebody else maybe does things in terms of from launch to release kind of thing, but it's got to be what works for you in terms of the time that you've got. As Wendy already mentioned, we're focusing on free and lower cost things here. The bottom line is you can spend thousands of dollars doing different things that may or may not work. There's no guarantees just because you hand over the big bucks, but we're focusing on the low or no cost suggestions here. So I think in some ways money does change things slightly, but you need a longer timeline in order to book out things earlier in terms of advertising or maybe marketing agencies and that kind of thing. That's what we're not talking about here.
I'm talking
about maybe like, okay, I've got a 2-week countdown. Here are the things that I'm going to do do what Cheryl says, which is write down what you do.
I think you've also got to work out if you've got one book, two books, three books, rapid release, not rapid release, where you're at.
Yeah.
Is this one book going to have the second book in the back as a pre-order? Is this one book a standalone and the next one's not going to come out for another year? Do you have four books that you're going to release over the next 4 months or next 2 months?
Yeah. I think knowing that is really, really important. It's knowing where your readers go next.
Yeah.
You need to give them somewhere, even if it's to a pre-order or a newsletter sign up for the next book, but you need to give them something else to go on to.
So if I wanted to, so what you're saying is if you were starting out now, your first step would be starting a newsletter?
Absolutely. I think it's the most important thing for an author, and it's because you own it. You own those, and it might be you might have 10 people on the list. That's fine. We've said it time and again, but you don't own your social media profiles. You don't own all your TikTok followers or your Facebook page or even your Facebook group. You know, those guys, as in the social media companies, they can shut that down tomorrow and you've got no way of contacting those people. Whereas with a newsletter list, that is your connection, your direct connection with potential readers. So that, I think, is the most important place to put your time into building.
And I also think that newsletters cannot be underestimated for a huge source for reviewers.
Yeah.
So this is where, I mean, you can do it from your Facebook page if you've got one set up, but from right from the beginning, you get that newsletter started and then you ask people. You give them a taste of what through your newsletters of who you are as an author and what you're going to be publishing. And you get a few people on board. And honestly, if this really is your first book, it doesn't matter how many people, you just want some social proof, and that will come from your reviews.
Even if it's one. One is fine. Ten is better.
Yeah.
One is fine.
I think the news. Sorry, go share.
No, I was just going to say, in my head, I would think five.
Yeah.
I would think five people that you could trust to leave a review when you ask them to.
And they don't all have to be five star. Ideally, you want three and up, but a little variation is not a bad thing at all.
Absolutely. I really think newsletters are a vital tool. I mean, even for me and Cher, further down the line, all of us further down the line, I'll ask a question in a newsletter, you know, what do you think of this cover? What do you think of this blurb? What do you think of, you know, like having these people as a direct sort of link to you? You don't have to funnel through anyone or anything. They're just your people. You can ask them questions. You can put a poll out. You can do whatever.
They can help you launch better, right?
The thing is, they're your peeps, so they're focused on you.
Yeah.
So, and they've taken the time to sign up to your newsletter. So they're great for research.
Yeah. We've done a lot of podcasts on newsletters. So, if you're writing down notes, go to spargirlspodcast.com and put in newsletters in the search bar there on our homepage, and it'll bring up the podcast that we've talked about on newsletters. But we've had everybody, all the names that you think about in the newsletter community, the Tammy LeBrec, we've had Larissa Reynolds, we've had a number of authors talking about how they use their newsletters. And so I think that's a really good place to start.
I mean, a lot of people say you don't need a newsletter, right? There are people still out there who say it,
absolutely.
I totally disagree. If I was going to get anything, that would be my first step.
Yeah, absolutely.
After the book? Absolutely.
Yeah.
100.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, we've talked about a newsletter with you. The next step has got to be working out where you fit in the market, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you
know? It does. Mm-hmm. It's like if you bake an amazing cake, you need to know what kind of people like this particular flavor cake, right?
I'm big on cake analogies.
but I think it is good to pause and kind of get over the flurry of finishing, because often by the time you get to that finish line of formatting that book, you're tired of it. But just make sure that your blurb and your title and your cover and how it looks on the digital shelves fits with the other books in that subgenre. Just double check that and maybe get a little bit of feedback from other authors, because you can easily tweak the blurb particularly and that kind of thing.
We've talked about all this before many times. I understand that, but I don't think you can highlight this enough. And for us, it's really important that you guys, if you're starting out in this career, that you're starting out on a journey and you've got a direction and you're doing it right. And doing it right is, well, there is no one way to do it right, but researching the market is vital.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on a lot of groups, I don't know about you guys, but and you see that an author will come in and say, oh, my book's not selling, I can't work out why, I've done everything right, and you go and look at it and the cover's wrong.
Yeah.
Or the blurb's wrong. Or, you know, the thing is, you have to look at it. You have to put your reader hat on.
Mm.
I think that's really important, putting your reader hat on and saying, okay, what do I like? What do I go looking for when I go to Amazon? So people who want my book are going to go looking, you know, for a certain genre or a certain cover.
Yeah. And it, again, we've said this before, but it's not the time. You don't want to be unique. No. You don't want to stand out for the wrong reasons, you've got some obscure cover on
with a
very traditional cowboy romance, for example, without a cowboy on the cover.
Yeah.
No. This is not the time to reinvent the wheel. This is the time to make sure that you hold your own against the others in there.
Because you have time for that later on, you know, like when you're just starting out, you want people to buy your book to know who you are so that they will look for your other books. And when you do have more than one book and you've got a link in the back for the next book, they're going to pick it up straight away because what you sold them the first time around was exactly what they wanted.
That's right. I mean, I wrote traditional regencies for ages. Well, not traditional, like they have romance in them, but traditional romance, historical romances for a long time, but I had this series that had paranormal in it and I kept it away and didn't put it out till I knew that I had a foot in the market. If I'd have put that out first, it would have been different. People would have gone, I have no idea what this is.
I think it is tricky. Yeah. It is really tricky when you've got something that's slightly off what, you know, or additional to what is normally expected in there. So definitely have a research and you, thinking you want to fit in. You want to be part of the pack of the dogs. You don't want to be the sheep on the side.
Okay, so if you were planning your launch, you got your email newsletter, you got all of that sort of side of things. So what's your first steps with regard to social media? I mean, with your timeline, where do you start? So you obviously got to have it really well edited. You've got to have a really great cover. You've got to have a really great blurb. Setting up Facebook pages, what's your sort of next step, would you say?
Yeah, I would be picking out some really good lines and some excerpts to feature on Facebook, like social media posts. And I know that the reach of Facebook is just seems to continue to tank downwards. But the point is it's free. And it's also, I really, really believe it's really good practice for an author to get used to trying to find to do copywriting, which is sales copywriting, which is different to fiction writing. And I think it can be a little frustrating for you and you might not sure what's going to work or what's not, but actually this is really good learning for you. And it might not pay your dividends this time, but it will pay dividends in the long run. And it will also help you write blurbs in the future, or help you write your book in the future as well. So I think, and I mean, look at other authors, what they're doing, particularly in your subgenre, in terms of what the social media posts that they're sharing. I'm not saying to copy, but I'm saying what's working. Is it a line of dialogue? Is it a small, just like a really short hook, you know? So look at what other people are doing, be inspired by that, and then turn it around and use your own story to produce those. And I think that you know, you can easily spend a few hours just sitting there doing those yourself. You can, we've talked to BookBrush on the podcast, again, go to our website to see that. You can easily make those graphics yourself. Some people use their cover designers to do them, but it's these days we've got some amazing tools. Canva and BookBrush are most commonly used. If you're not a Photoshop or an independent graphic person, and it's you don't have to have any massive skills, but that's what the beauty of BookBrush and Canva do, is they give you the sizing is correct, and they will give you that sort of template, if you like, so it looks professional.
And if you're going onto these people's pages, then you need to, you know, not go on there to advertise your own stuff, but actually become a community member on their page. And I would say that if you find authors with their own pages that are writing very, very similar to you, then they are the perfect addition to a newsletter. You know, when you're sending out newsletters and you really don't have a lot to say, you can share their books, especially when they've got a sale on, but you can also share them to your Facebook page so that you're automatically getting yourself content while you're learning.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, using things in more than one way is also another good tool.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's like, as Wendy said right at the top, this is, you know, a new job kind of thing, and you're learning as you go. It's an apprenticeship. When you first start, particularly for your first book, it is an apprenticeship. You're an apprentice, you know, regardless of how much writing experience you might have, publishing is different. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, I don't believe it's good to try and circumvent or to sort of fast track this kind of learning, because I truly believe it will serve you in the future.
Even if it's the first book or the fifth book, you know, it's good to learn to create hype. It's good to learn that process. I mean, okay, you got the first book, chances are it's not going to sell heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of copies. It could be, and go you.
Yeah.
You could be that outlier. But I think it's good to learn how to, you know, to set up a release and create that hype for however long you choose. I mean, there's no rule of thumb on that. I usually do the week of, the week before.
I was going to say, a lot of authors sort of work on a week to two weeks, you know, have a sort of do a post a day kind of thing for 2 week period.
And you can, if you can afford to have a giveaway of an Amazon gift card or whatever, create some hype. Get those copies out to and check those ARC reviews. That's vital. Getting reviewers, I think that's to me a really important part of it.
Yeah,
because social proof, right?
Yeah,
got to have.
If you can't afford to join something like Book Funnel, where you can do author swaps or join promotions, which I highly recommend that you do as soon as you can afford it, you can also, having spoken about other authors, you can also approach people. You know, the worst thing they'll do is say no, right? Mm. But you might find that somebody is genuinely interested in lifting up newbie authors, and they will do a promotion as well, especially if they see that you're sharing their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're, you know, become a fan of theirs, then, you know, you don't know what doors will open unless you knock. Yeah.
But can I just put a rider on that? And I've seen a few experienced authors commenting that they're having people like direct message them or post a link to their book on the that author's own page kind of thing. Like that's
No, don't do that.
We're not talking that. That's like just rocking up to somebody's house and like, you know, saying what's for dinner. You know, preferably do it through a author focused Facebook group is a good way of doing it. You know, join a author Facebook group that way.
I have a little story about that, actually.
Okay.
Just recently, you know, like in the last few weeks, I had someone keep posting on my private page, on my, you know, exclusive page, author page on Facebook, and they kept posting their books, like their new releases and other books, you know, in sales and all that sort of thing. And I just hid the site. I just hid their posts, because I didn't want to be rude. And then eventually I thought, hang on a minute, this is my page.
Yeah.
And they haven't even asked. So I messaged them and I said, look, you know, this is a bit out of order. You know, if you want to post something, you need to ask me first. And she came back to me, and I kid you not, she said, oh, which page was that?
Yeah.
Even though I had replied in my name and we were clearly friends on Facebook. She didn't know where she was posting. She was just doing it randomly.
No.
I'm sorry. That is just completely rude.
And that is it's so rude, and it's also a complete waste of time. Plus, people are going to steer clear of you, because I can guarantee you Cheryl knows the name of that person. They're not going to be. So, you know, just be polite.
Be polite. Be good. Yeah. Could be a good community member, you know, because that'll hold you in good stead down the track, because if you make a mistake and do something wrong to start with, it'll take a while to clear your name.
Exactly.
Okay, so if we were going to do some dabble our feet into some paid advertising.
Yeah. I would say a small Facebook ad is not a bad way to go, particularly. Yeah. So one thing that we've talked about this before, and we make sure the link in the show notes, it's on our podcast episode on bonus content. But again, it goes back to building that newsletter. And so if you've got a prequel or a short story that can tie into the book that you're about to release, that's a great way of, you know, in return for offering that free to people, you can get their email address for your newsletter list. I would put probably like do a $5 a day Facebook ad if you can swing that. Keep it simple. Use Facebook's auto find people kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think this sounds so negative and I don't mean it that way, but I'm just trying to be realistic. Go in with really realistic expectations and never spend any money that you cannot afford to lose.
I was just going
to
say,
think of it, it's budget. Like when I go to the casino, I have my X amount of dollars that I'm going to spend on the blackjack table, and I figure if I come out with zero, that was a good night. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's how you should go when you start out in paid advertising.
Yeah.
The other alternative is maybe running an auto ad on Amazon, but that once the book is published, it can be a little harder with Amazon. It tends to be a little slower, and also particularly if you're new and this book hasn't got any other books in the series or any other, you haven't got any existing readers, it can be hard for the algorithms to figure out who to feed that to. Yeah. So that can be a little frustrating. I think you probably get more immediate kind of idea of what's working with Facebook. But really start off slow, make sure you put a cap on the spending and be really realistic. You don't have to do this, but if that's what you're doing, that's a possibility. The other possibility is, personally, if you had a small amount of money, I would probably pay to join BookFunnel first over that, I think.
Mm. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Because there are so many great tools out there, right?
Yeah. There are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they need to be, because there are literally thousands of books getting published every day, just to give you a smack of reality here. And, you know, you are launching into the great wilderness.
But on the flip side of that, a lot of people only publish one book. If you're planning this as a career,
exactly.
The percentage of people that keep writing and keep loading up books is a lot smaller.
Exactly.
So that's
I think the vast majority of them are almost one-offs. I think, I don't know if anybody's ever done the stats on that. I'd love to know that.
But I think it's really important to note here that the one thing that you can do for your career is write the next book.
Yeah.
You know, because if people love your book, they want to get on to the next one, or they'll forget you if there's nothing else to go, keep going back to.
Yeah.
You know, that's hugely, hugely important. I also think, you know, that there's the email newsletter lists that, you know, Red Letter Romance, so, you know, which are not huge amounts of money depending on the list. I mean, obviously BookBub's a big behemoth, but you can actually do paid book ads, BookBub ads as well.
Yeah.
But those smaller lists can get you a little bump.
The only thing with some of those lists is that they're going to expect you to really, really lower the price of your book, and often a lot of them are 99 cents. I don't know how that will serve you for a first book. If it really is your first book and you don't have any readers, maybe that's a possibility. But I'm just wary of the fact that as authors we're underselling ourselves a lot, giving away far too much. I mean, you can have a leader magnet, and you can have teasers, and you can have chapter excerpts, which is different. But when it's just your book and you're putting it on those platforms for basically nothing,
absolutely. And there is a large proportion of books that are as free, like, you know, when I say sold as free, or you know, for a price promotion, a huge number of those just sit on people's Kindles and aren't actually read. And I know I'm completely guilty of this, you know, I go through my BookBub email every day and I'll get that and that, and then maybe in a few years time I go to buy it and I think it's already on there and I have no recollection of how I got it. I agree Cheryl. I think you know, I go back to the newsletter. I think I would really focus on that. And I think we've said it before, but this is a long game that you're playing. And unless this is your one and done, if it's your one and done,
different
all bets are off, right?
Yeah.
You do whatever makes you feel good.
I think about the newsletter all the time, and I think that's their chance to hear your voice too.
Yeah.
You get to know you. You don't you give as much as little as you want. I mean, I know we're probably reiterating something we've spoken about a lot, but we get a lot of people talking to us and a lot of people asking us the same question. What do I do first? Yeah. How do I release? Where do I go? What do I do? And that's why we keep coming back to basics. I think it really, there is just so much noise out there at the moment.
And I think the basics are, make sure it fits in your, again, we've already talked about this, but make sure it fits on the shelf with other books in your subgenre, and get your newsletter going. Those are the two keys. I would absolutely put a newsletter over a website, actually. You can have just an author page on Books to Read or somewhere like that. You know, if cost is a thing, I would set, or and time is a thing, I would absolutely have your newsletter set up.
Which actually goes back to right at the beginning, before any of this, is where are you going to put your book up? Are you putting it wide, or are you going to go Amazon exclusive? And we have over the past said that perhaps if it's your first book and time is an issue, like if you're working another job or whatever, maybe you want to go to Amazon and be exclusive there. For you only have to sign up for 90 days for the, you know, the first time. As soon as you're up, you can untick it and then you can go wide after that. But yeah, if time is a factor, then maybe you just want to look at Amazon. But whatever you do, you have to have all of those sites set up prior. You have to have Amazon, your KDP account. You have to have Draft to Digital, which is an aggregator, which will send to all the other platforms if you choose not to go individually to all of them.
There is definitely quite a bit of back-end work, as they say.
So I guess where we came from this podcast is you've actually got that decided and now you've got the book. And I think Shah mentioned it right at the beginning is maybe you look at when you want to publish and work backwards. Is that a realistic date?
Yeah.
Because especially if you want to put it up for pre-order, which, you know, that's entirely up to you as well, you have to have everything else set up before that comes back, including if you do have some reviewers, when they're going to get back to you. And you kind of want to make that time specific as well.
You definitely do. And I think for gathering reviews, if it's people that you approach yourself or, you know, through your newsletter list or, you know, even if you put a little note up on your Facebook page and ask, you know, anybody in return for a free copy, would you like to read and potentially review? You have to be careful with your wording. You can't demand it.
No.
But, you know, you could invite them. People that love posting reviews on online retailers, would you like a copy of my book? But you need to, I think you need to give people at least 2 weeks to read that. You know, I think any time less than that is really tough. And you need to give them a free copy. Don't expect them to buy it. Many will. Many will go on to buy it.
They'll buy it as well.
But this is, they're doing you the favour here. And I think don't be afraid to give your book away or to give your newsletter magnet away free. It's good to, you know, you want to be like the person in the supermarket giving taste testers. This is what you're doing. You know, you're trying to make, trying to just connect with some people. And I know that money has gone into producing your book in terms of your own time and the cost of an editor and, you know, cover and all of that. But I do think at the beginning, it's not necessarily about recovering that from initial sales. It's actually about launching your pen or your author name, you as an author. So you know, any business, you got to put the money in first, you know, sunk cost first before you
it's a learning curve, right? It's just, that's the thing to remember. You know, I mean, if you think you're getting in this to get rich quick, no, that's actually you know, just put, I don't think so anyway. Maybe if you hit a vein of gold, then go
listen
for it.
We've been doing this podcast over 8 years. Have we ever had anybody that's ever been on that's got rich quick?
No.
I mean, a lot of them have seen success, but they put them, like I say, when people are talking about money on forums and things like that, you also got to remember how much money that they've spent to get to that place, you know, and that's not necessarily as sexy to talk about. So I'm just saying.
and plenty of people have had books that they've teethed, you know, all the programs on, you know, all the platforms on, and then taking those books down because that was their learning curve, that was their training wheels, and now they're ready to go. And
I think that's actually a really good point. Yeah. You know,
quite a few people haven't had success until their 10th book.
A lot.
And I'm not saying that's happening to you, and I'm, you know, your second book or your first book could go crazy, but I'm just saying, you know, this is
chances are. It will need a good 4 to 5 books, I would say, to really bed in. And that's 4 to 5 books released in a consistent way. And that consistency can be dependent on your own circumstances. And it depends, you know, how much time you've got to produce, how long your books are, all of that kind of thing. I think a lot of this business is about consistency. It's consistency of what you're producing in terms of you're keeping a consistent subgenre, you know, not kind of writing a sci-fi one day and then the next book that comes out is an Amish romance and the book that comes out after that is a cozy mystery. I'm talking about consistency of what you're producing in the same subgenre, consistency of of how often you're emailing your newsletter list, consistency of how often you publish. I think it's better to do a consistent schedule than trying to do, I don't know, weekly for 3 weeks and then not release again for a year kind of thing, personally.
Readers have the expectations, and if they don't hear from you at all between books,
people have a really short memory, man. You gotta
especially as you get older.
Yeah.
you can meet someone at a party and, like, you know, meet them again.
I forget my grandchildren's names, you know. I mean, it's like
that's a different thing.
This isn't necessarily about release strategy. It is about release strategy, but it's not about rapid releasing this podcast, because that's a whole nother subject. And rapid can be really anything that you make. For some people, rapid is one a day. Others, it's one a week. You know, literally writers create books, write books and finish books and then hold them back and then release them. A really good book. We've talked to Alana Johnson, and I've linked to her in the show notes on episode 228. But she wrote a book a few years ago now, but it still absolutely is, because I read it last night just before we came on here today. And it's called Writing and Releasing Rapidly. And she goes through her process and how it's shifted for her. And to her, rapid releasing it has meant different things. Sometimes it's been every 3 weeks, sometimes it's been on the same day, two books, you know. I know. And I think it's a good book to read, even if you never intend to do that. But she talks about it's really important to know how fast you can write and the pace. And as you get more experience, that may increase. But all the back end stuff increases too.
That's
so it's
right.
Sort of balanced out
that's
by that.
So right. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think it's really important to do it realistically. You don't want to be burning yourself out, like flaming out.
Yeah. Learn from the people who know what they're doing. Yeah. And that comes to putting back matter and front matter in your books, all those sort of things. It's a real learning curve. It's like an apprenticeship.
It really is.
You've got to understand all the nuances that go into publishing.
Yeah.
Sure, just put your book up if that's what you want to do and go you. But if you want this to be a long career, then sort of do that groundwork to start with and get it right. Don't get over bogged down with it all. But
it's never going to be perfect either, right? You're not going to get it all right. But I think every thing that you get wrong is also just as much learning, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
And I think knowing what you absolutely need to do to give your book the best chance, and then adding the other things in to ensure that happens, that comes over time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's working out what worked for you, what worked for that book or that genre, and then tweaking as you go. And I know Wendy and I have tweaked for the last 10 years.
Re-editing, re-blurbing,
recovering. Back matter, front matter's changed over the years many times, but
what's
I think
working now?
I think that's a sign of someone, you know, you really need to roll with the punches with this gig. You know, like, things change like it so quickly. Amazon algorithms there's a lot of so many variances that you yourself have no say in and can't control. So it's really important that you control the things you can.
Yeah.
You know, get the basics right.
You got to roll with the punches, right?
Oh,
and
so
it's,
much,
it's hard,
right?
Like, it's your personal business and it's hard not to take things personally, but you're talking about a behemoth algorithm run megacorp and you're nothing. You're a speck in that cog.
Well, no, we think you're something.
All of us as authors are. And so... Yeah. So focus on the things that you do have control over.
Absolutely.
and not shaking your fist at the sky, because that's not going to help.
On a positive side, how exciting, right? How exciting that you finished a book and you get to – how many people do you know who are authors?
How many people say that they want to write a book and never do?
Never do it
is huge. And I think that's the other important thing, is to really really give yourself kudos for doing it right, and just give yourself grace that you're not going to get it perfect from the start.
Celebrate everything you do that you achieve.
So
what would be your one tip? Have you got a one thing that's worked for you that you feel you want to impart, or have we covered everything? Go first, share. Right on the spot.
Well, I honestly think after listening to us talking in my notes as well, I honestly think it's about timing. It's about making sure that you have all your ducks in a row before you press publish, before you load a pre-order. Can I do this in the time frame that I'm saying I will? Because you want to make that happen. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to disappoint people. And right from the get-go, you're going to be on the back foot.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and there might be a goose in between those ducks, but, you know, like, she's so 100% right. What about you, Shah?
I would say have an idea. If you've just written the one book, I would have an idea of what else you want to write. Is it a series? Are you doing standalones? Like, have a publishing plan in your head even. And I think it's really, so there's that, but also keep a note of how long things take you to do. Like, how long does it take to load that book on? Now, initially, it's going to take ages. But just keep a diary or a notebook of how long it takes you to do things, so then you can look back for the next launch and think, oh, okay, this is the amount of time, and adjust your timeline. I think definitely noting down how, and also what you spend as well, is really good. And then keep track of your numbers. I think data doesn't lie.
Yeah.
You can kid yourself that different things work and different things don't work, but sometimes when you actually look at the cold hard data, or like I can convince myself that I can do something in 30 minutes. There's no way I can do it in 30 minutes.
Never going to happen, right?
Forget it. I could spend 30 minutes looking for the perfect, you know,
graphic to go on.
Yeah. Or, you know, on like,
no. Puffy sticker.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think keep a note of things. And that sort of, because otherwise, burnout is a very real thing, and you can get burnt out by options as well.
Don't so overdo
try and keep it.
Keep
it simple. Yeah.
Keep it simple. But I think for me, it's like if you choose a path to go down, give it your all.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't work, adjust. But don't do a whole lot of things.
No.
You know, like half. I can't say half-assed because half is not allowed to be said. But, you know, like just don't do a whole lot of things half. Do three or four things whole. Do them right. Get right into them. Get them. See them through to the end. And if they don't work, then adjust and change. But I think we're all a little bit guilty of, you know, oh, gosh, look at that. We'll go try that. Oh, gosh, Absolutely. Look at that. We'll try that. Absolutely. You know, we download apps. We buy books. We follow podcasts. Ours, of course, is the most important. There, but you know, like all these things, there's just so much noise. So simplify it, because it's so easy to get overwhelmed.
And I know this is an extra bonus, but I would say make sure, as we've said before, get the basics right first. Do not, and I've seen so many people throwing big advertising money at a book that is poorly covered or poorly blurbed or doesn't, and it's just, you're just pushing, you basically might as well just go and light fire to it. Getting advertising working is hard, even with the most, no such thing as perfect, but even the most on market packaging, if you like, it's really important to get the basics right.
And the other thing I will add on that is, if you ask advice from someone who knows what they're talking about, then listen. Don't just ask advice and then go and do what you want or argue back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've all been down that road. Okay, I think we've pretty much said everything we want to say.
Yeah, well, I've actually got a final piece of advice. If you would like to come along to patreon.com/spargirlspodcast, you can join our writing community there. It's a $10 a month tier. You can join for 1 month. You can join for 100 months. We would just love to see you there. Mm. And yes, it is a nominal fee to join us, but you are welcome to share your blurb in there. We've been talking about blurbs. We help, and not just us, but also our other community members. It's a really supportive thing that we're there every day, share your covers, and we will give you the honest. We had a member last week who shared their cover and
blurb.
And possibly, you know, we're not there to blow smoke up your, you know,
we won't say that word,
but we're not there to do that. We're there to help you. And it was a good cover, but it wasn't quite there. And there's nothing wrong with it. And sometimes you just need an experienced eye to point those out in a really supportive way, because we're there to help people, our community members, succeed.
Very good. All right.
That's spygirlspodcast.com and Patreon, spygirlspodcast.
Here we go. That's where we can be found. Yes, y'all. You guys have a really good day.
Yes.
And thank you for listening to us. And we will be back next week with more wonderful advice and tips. Okay. Bye
for now. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.